Perfect. Hello again, friends, and welcome to another edition of Racing Refresh Happy Hour, episode 18. This one titled Taking It to the Streets. And we did take it to the streets, and I will, in fact, be leading us off said streets and on to the love child of Talladega and Daytona, known as Atlanta. A hearty Omaha to each and every one of you. I'm Logan Loganity Morris, and thank you, Jesus, I don't do it alone. I do it with a man who has continuously proved wrong lately. I'm talking, of course, about the man that is a senior open wheel guru. But when it comes to two things, when it comes to street courses and when it comes to the Vortex Theory, he is 0 for his last two. Because score one for the Vortex Theory, again, we raced in the rain. That's clear. The Vortex Theory works. You just got to get him on the track. So anywho, let's bring him in, Mr. Colin Best. Let's talk about it. Colin Best, how are you? The street course was widely considered a success. The Vortex Series won again, and you must be very cool in the Florida heat because you keep swinging and missing.
The Vortex Series didn't work in Chicago. I don't know what you're talking about. His cars weren't even on track when it stopped raining.
Did we race?
It was a road course.
Did we race?
You raced, but rain didn't affect the outcome of this race. It was actually the sun setting and there were no lights there that affected the outcome of the race.
Right.
But I will tell you that I'm doing a hell of a lot better than Brett Griffin is right now. I can take an L, just like he can't, but I can. So I'm going to sip on this Coke Zero. I will form out what my punishment will be throughout the rest of the week, and by next week we'll have a punishment set and ready. It'll be the greatest thing ever on Racing Refresh Happy Hour that's ever been done in the history of ever. I can guarantee you that. But, you know, I will admit defeat. I was wrong. I was completely wrong. It was a fantastic race. The fastest driver, the best guy of the weekend, won the race, even though it was his first start. I don't really think it really was his first start because he drove in supercars. Those things are just like NASCAR Cup Series cars. But to me, It was a great weekend. We have a lot to talk about, a lot of good news leaving Chicago, and now we go to our third Super Speedway race of 2023. A lot to be excited about. NASCAR is hitting the momentum at the right time going into the dog days of summer that it's going to be coming in the next couple weeks.
Ah, the dog days. And luckily, someone here is going to help us get through those dog days. He, of course, provides expert analysis. He's pulling double duty, like a McDouble, if you will, the McDonald's sponsor. Get what I'm saying? The show creator himself, our favorite Canadian on this show for this hour, Adam Carabine, come on in.
Hello, hello, my friends. Yes, I am pulling double duty today. It feels a little weird to like bring myself in, click the button to welcome my own self. So I'm happy to be here, and we're missing producer Peggy today. She is she's off gallivanting somewhere, doing something crazy. I'm sure.
But she's seeing Collective Soul in Warren, Ohio.
That'll do it. That'll do it. Well, We are going to have to put our souls together to create a collective soul to carry this show today. So
I see what you did there.
Thank you. Yeah.
But no, we're gonna carry this thing and
Mr. Caroline, seem distracted though, that it's because I'm trying to produce the show as well as talk. So
Mr. Caroline, one question before we really get going here. Did you see that Vortex Theory pay off again?
I'm gonna stay Switzerland in this Vortex Theory thing. I don't know. I'm keeping out of it. Good Canadian, I'm gonna
as a good Canadian himself. All right. Well, with that, we have a lot to talk about and a little time to do it. So what do you say we do it? With that, let's get to it. Let's get to our weekend review. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Maybe you don't have the smoothness of one Peggy Lorne, but you're getting there.
I'm getting there. I'm working on it.
You play a little grittier. That's all right. So for the Xfinity Indy Series, Cole Custer gets a rain-shortened win. We didn't even make it halfway, but they still called it. Cole Custer, there's not a whole lot you can break down from. Oh, hi. Hi. What's his name?
His name is Baymax.
Hi. Hi, you're beautiful. Oh, it's
okay. Just keep going, Logan. He's just
don't get Logan distracted.
Oh, you should. If Peter was here, boy, she'd be going nuts. Anywho, so Cole Custer won a very rain shortened race. There's not much you can say about the actual racing because there wasn't a ton of it. We got, we didn't get very far. They did call it two laps short of halfway. Obviously, NASCAR was in a pretty sticky wicket, as some would say. They were in a spot, no doubt, trying to handle the street course in Chicago and trying to get out of there. I'm going to start on this one. I don't like that they called it before halfway. I understand I totally respect why they did. I get it. I know it was just two laps short. And I know that, they were in a very unique position. But rules are also rules. And so if we can just make them up as we go along, I think that hurts the validity of the sport, in my opinion. I know this was a very unique circumstance, but you don't see baseball players going, well, it's raining like hell. We're going to go ahead and we're going to call this at bat out at two strikes. That doesn't happen. We don't see that. You either stop the game because there's been plenty of times where a game is stopped in the middle of an at bat and they resume later on whenever that may be. I don't like, and I want to point out to NASCAR because we want to be fair here on Racing Refresh Happy Hour. Totally understand you were in a very unique position, but I don't like the idea of making up rules as we go along, or else what the hell is the point of them anyway? I mean, okay, then where's the line? And I know I'm only talking about two laps, and so that makes me sound like a get off my lawn or a Karen. I get it, but still, the rule is in place for a reason. If we can just change them via circumstances, then what is their validity really? Again, you don't see it from other sports. That's just my opinion. Let's kick it to the greatest beautiful bearded panel you ever saw. I'm going to start with Colin on this one. What'd you think of them calling it before halfway? You got my thoughts. What's yours?
See, I think it was fine. There were a lot of circumstances that were outside of NASCAR's control. The Vortex Theory didn't work on Saturday, Logan. But to me,
that is not true. We still raced. We had an official winner.
Yeah, but it didn't go all the way. And the rain did come during the race. So frankly, to be honest with you, it didn't work. But, they were dealing with the city of Chicago and, in doing research, even if at Lollapalooza, Chicago's, festival, if there's lightning or imminent weather, they clear the grounds. They do not take any chances with public safety, and I commend them for that. That safety is one thing that you cannot be lax on. I wish they did the race on Monday, but to be honest, why would you keep the AA affiliate of any minor league baseball team an extra day just to finish a game? You can easily postpone it or move on. Cole Custer was probably at a class of the field on Saturday. There was no doubt in my mind. So I have no problems with what the NASCAR did. With extenuating circumstances, with everything that happened over the weekend, just getting a race on the streets of Chicago in the first place should just be commended for it. Just have NASCAR stock cars roll around a 2.2-mile track in the middle of Chicago should be commended for. So in my opinion, NASCAR did everything they possibly could, and they'll just move on to Atlanta. It's totally fine.
What say you, Mr. Carbine?
I think I have to agree with you, Colin. I think if it was the Cup Series, it might be a different story, but because it is like, yeah, the double A or the, you know, the second tier, I don't know if it's as important. And yeah, I don't know. As much as I would have loved more racing at the Chicago street course, I don't know if it's worth keeping the streets of Chicago shut down for an extra day just to run the Xfinity race, or I guess run the last 27 laps or 28 laps of whatever it was. Yeah, not worth it. And honestly, I think once they went out, they probably would have run a couple laps under caution anyways, and it would have, you know, obviously been raining too much, and they could have called it then. So I don't really have a problem with them calling it two laps early. Does it suck for a viewer and for, you know, the city of Chicago and all the fans who showed up? Yeah, but that's not NASCAR's fault. That's the, you know, Mother Nature's fault. So what can you do?
All right. Well, I will proudly stand, or in this case, sit from the Logan Andy Lounge in the minority. And that's a beautiful place to be. It usually means I'm correct. The Cup Series, look, SVG got it done. You could have called this episode easy as SVG. Trackhouse gets it done back to back. Shane Van Hamburglar, as Joey Logano called him, got it done. And his first career start, you know, pretty incredible. You run out of things to say on something like this, because in the modern era, this has happened before, but not in the modern era. And so pretty incredible to have a ringer come on in, the first one since Mark Donohue to come on in and win in the Cup Series. I don't know what to say, because we saw some serious history. Great moment for SVG, of course. Great moment for Trackhouse. And great moment for the sport. You like the idea of new winners. Now, if you're on the playoff bubble, this is the best new winner you've ever gotten, because it don't mean jack on the point standings. So not only do you get the good story, if you're on that playoff bubble like an Alex Bowman or a Bubba Wallace, hey, that's all right. You're whistling Dixie because you got it done. Let's talk for a second. I want to ask.
Before we get there, Logan, yeah. I wanted, we have a couple of receipts here that I've just, because Colin, you know, Colin was pretty vocal last week about what a terrible race this was going to be. And
you don't say,
even about SVG, he wasn't too high on SVG. I think we've got a clip here. Hold on a sec, Colin. Let's see what we got.
Single person. I don't even understand why that guy came up from Project 91 to do a race in Chicago. Like, I get it. He's an Australian V8 guy, and he knows how to race these races. But he ain't going to pass nothing. It's kidney stones are going to be easier to pass than on Sunday. Guaranteed.
That's Shane Von Gisberg. Is that his name? Yeah.
Yeah, Shane Von. I'm going to finish 38th because I don't know how to race these NASCAR Next Gen cars.
Welcome back to L City.
I actually have one other clip here as well.
Sure.
You know, I think Colin was talking a little bit earlier about what his punishment should be. I think he's actually already outlined what his punishment should be. I seem to recall. Actually, do we have a clip here? Oh, hold on a sec. Let's see what we got.
How can we have such ferocity towards this? Is going to stink. This is going to suck. This is going to be bad. We haven't seen it yet.
If the race is good, I'll eat like hot dogs on air until I puke. I will get just. Do whatever you want.
All right. Okay, but here's my caveat. Uh-huh. It can't be good based on what you say. It needs to be good based on a vote of this panel. Fair?
Should we use the Jeff Gluck poll? What's the minimum percentage of good?
It has to be above like 50%.
I was going to say 50% or higher. Fair?
Yeah, 50% or higher.
All right.
Damn.
do you have the poll results, Mr. Carbine?
As a matter of fact, I do. I'm having trouble finding them now. Just one second.
I'll just, like, it's above 80%. It was like 85% for and like 15% against. It was like one of the top rated thing. It was probably one of the most voted polls in Gluck's poll. I was on one that entire show. I don't know what was wrong with me. I think it was like a headache or something. It powered through.
And now you're gonna pay the piper.
Yeah.
At one point you said hot dogs. At one point you said you eat your hat. I mean, maybe you'll munch down on your diecast. I don't know.
How do you know I'm playing with my diecast?
You have a microphone. I can hear any rattle you have.
Okay. So look, I was wrong, but mostly my thing was if it was my whole thing was if it was dry. If it was dry, there'd be no passing. But since it was wet. And there you go.
As you can see, folks, the Jeff Gluck Twitter poll of the week has, I mean, I'm new to English, but it says, yes, it was a good rate, 85% to 15.
Look, all I always say is I'll take L's, but, like, I had a better weekend than the entire Legacy Motor Club.
What is the come now? That's wait a minute here. That's
what are you talking about? I did. No, Gregson didn't even. He couldn't even stay straight on the end on the cooldown lap, man.
First of all, he finished on the lead lap. We'll take.
He spun coming to pit road on the cooldown lap, and then Andy Lally's calling him expletives over the radio for saying this guy can't even go straight. I don't know what you talk. I've taken one L so far in the show, but I can guarantee you that Noah Gregson's ran in a turn six wall about like 80 times so far. Legend has it, he's still in the turn six tire wall. I guarantee it. And I'm pretty sure it wasn't a concussion at Gateway. I'm pretty sure he's like praying to the racing gods that Legacy Motor Club as a whole just burns up. And they can't come back until 2024 Toyota. Like, the whole building just goes up in flames.
Appreciate that you tried to defer to my fandom, and I appreciate that. I really do. But here's the kicker. I haven't made any bold Legacy Motor Club predictions for quite some time. You, on the other hand, were ranting and raving last week about how this race was going to be just god-awful, and then SVG was essentially going to be a waste in the field. And not only wasn't he a waste, he said, eat your hat, Mr. Best. Not only was this 38th, I'm going to go plus 38 spots. We're going to get number one, numero uno. So, like, I appreciate what you're trying to do, but this ain't the Legacy Motor Club Hour, unfortunately. Maybe someday it will be.
I'm sorry, Colin. I feel bad. It is fun to dunk a little bit, but, you know, I've certainly said some things that have turned out to be wrong as well. So,
Adam, there's a fantasy league chat that you're not a part of. Plenty of dunking is going on Legacy Motor Club and Noah Gregson, like, every day in that chat. Well, and I just have to read and watch everybody and their big, massive group think of how bad they are. And I don't say a thing out of some respect.
Listen, Eric Jones finished 16th. Yeah, a respectable top 16.
We are building positive momentum. They are at Legacy Motor Club, no doubt about it. So I'm just saying, don't you feel too bad for Colin. He gets his plenty. All right?
Sounds good.
He gets his plenty. All right. So, anywho, we will figure out a punishment fit for a... Well, fit for a king, a guy with a legacy getting things wrong. No doubt about it. So tell us, though, about something you know far more than I do. Formula One, Red Bull does it again. It's giving them wings. It's giving them speed. Talk to me.
See, I don't know what got deleted, what I wanted to delete more from the weekend. My bold prediction or the amount of times that people broke track limits on practice on Friday. But to be honest with you, the only thing that you could take away from that this race is, A, Williams is improving. Whatever upgrades they brought, Alex Albon finished 7th, and he's solidly – Williams will not finish last in the points this year. That's good. They're not going to do it. Praise the Formula One racing gods. But I will say – the only exciting part about this was Max Verstappen had such a huge lead with two to go. He was like, who had the fastest lap? It was his teammate, Checo Perez. And he was like, hey, I'm going to pit for soft tires. And, you know, Christian Horner was like, Max, I don't think that's such a good idea. He pitted for softs anyway. He got the fastest lap. He got 26 points, which extends his points lead massively. If the math is correct, if he wins the next five races, he will clinch the championship by passing the halfway mark in the season, which is unbelievable. So probably around Singapore weekend before the Grand Prix of Texas, the Grand Prix of Austin, he'll clinch a championship, which by my calculations will be the soonest anyone has ever clinched a Formula One world championship at this, in history ever.
Wow.
So good on for Max Verstappen for doing that.
He also he also got 8 bonus points, didn't he, for the sprint format that they've been running on?
Yes, he did. So he won the sprint race as well. So
see, look, I'm paying attention.
This is just absolute pure dominant masterclass by Red Bull Racing. And you know, I said this last week. I don't know how long Max Verstappen's going to be in Formula One at this point, because he has said he's getting bored of winning, and which you never hear a race car driver ever say. But he's getting bored of winning. And I've seen him a lot on iRacing. He's doing a lot of GT3 stuff, a lot of endurance stuff. So maybe he may make the jump to the World Endurance Championship. I'd love to see him in NASCAR. I think he can do a one-off race in Project 91. I think he's capable of doing it. I'd love to see him go for the Triple Crown. I'd love to see him do the Indy 500, the 24 hours of Le Mans, and the Grand Prix of Monaco. He's already have one, so he can get the other two, guarantee it. So probably about 3 years, we'll be talking about some other guy in Red Bull Racing dominating and Max Verstappen just dominating the World Endurance Championship at this point. But overall, it was a good weekend. Formula One is going to be off this week as we approach the – actually, no, wait, we'll be racing this week. I'm sorry. It is the best race of the year, the Silverstone Grand Prix. It is entirely the best race of the year by far. It's the best track. It's honestly the most pomp and circumstance in any Formula One event. It's kind of like their Daytona 500 or their Indianapolis 500. It's just – the biggest thing, because all the teams are located in the UK, so it's kind of a home race. I would call it the Coke 600 of Formula One. But I'm very excited for it. I think it's going to be a fun race, too. Is Red Bull going to dominate? Is the sky blue? I absolutely think so. The only person – I think it's going to be Verstappen, Hamilton, and then Fernando Alonso, your known top three podium drivers. So – there's really nothing to talk about in F1. I mean, there's really – it's just Red Bull dominating, and that's it. There's no other team that's really coming close to ever touching them. And I think the only disappointing thing of the season so far is his teammates actually underperforming, and they're talking about him losing his seat for next year, which means a la Daniel Ricciardo may come back to Formula One as a full-time driver next year. We don't know.
Well, what about IndyCar Mid-Ohio? We got to talk about that. Alex Palou got it done again. Yeah. What are your thoughts?
What a dominating drive. I haven't seen a dominating stretch like this in IndyCar in quite a while. And Alex Palou, he's only in his fourth year in IndyCar. He's already an IndyCar champion in year two. He went through a soft kind of a junior slump, and now in his senior year, he's doing fantastic in IndyCar. He's currently leading the points series standings. As IndyCar goes into a little bit of another break, before I think, where are we going? I think the streets of Toronto, so it'll be up in Adam's neck of the world. Well, on the other side of this world,
my country, at least, you know.
Yeah, that race will be on Peacock, unfortunately. So the mere mortals who just watch it on NBC or USA cannot watch that race. So I'm sorry if you do not have a Peacock subscription, but maybe you should, because they can watch WWE PLEs and stuff like that. But I think the second biggest story was the massive wreck that happened I can't remember his name. Why does his name escape me every single time?
Kyle Kirkwood.
No, it's not Kyle Kirkwood.
I know. That's the one that always seems to give you trouble.
Because Kyle Kirkwood actually finished like 15th. It was your boy Meyer Shank Racing. Simon Pagenaud got in a horrible wreck on opening practice. I don't know if you saw this on the NASCAR broadcast, but he flipped end over end over end into the gravel trap. He was not medically cleared to race on Sunday, which means the former fired driver from Ed Carpenter Racing, Connor Daly, jumped in the seat, and Connor Daly didn't impress anybody. But overall, this is probably the first weekend in a very long time where I say that IndyCar was the second best race of the weekend and the Cup Series was the actual best race of the season. I don't say that a lot. I haven't said it so far in this show during the season, but NASCAR thoroughly impressed me on Sunday. And hats off to anybody who does it. I want more street course races in NASCAR. I think it can be done.
Well, we'll keep talking about it. We got to keep moving along. Adam, it's time for our happy hour headlines.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
You weren't
beautiful.
Ready. You weren't ready for me to be so on the ball, were you?
I wasn't. I usually have to wrap you up, but that was fast.
I'm feeling it. I'm feeling it today. I mean, I showered and brushed my teeth and everything. Wow. So, Chicago Street Course is the most watched NASCAR on NBC race in 6 years. 4.795 million viewers, beat only by the Daytona 500 this year. So, let's talk about that. We of course, will talk about them cutting the race here momentarily. But what a big win for the sport are these massive ratings. You know, say what you want about the gimmicks, the Bristol Dirt Race and other things like that, and North Wilkesboro to some extent. Television-wise, they're paying off. We remember Bristol Dirt at first did big numbers. They still do pretty respectable numbers. It gets people's eyes tuned in on the product, as does the LA Coliseum. The first clash of the Coliseum got pretty big numbers. So as much as you might not like the gimmicky vibe of NASCAR with some of these races, you got to give them credit. When they try something, they do promote it correctly and get people to tune in. And so that's a huge credit. These are massive numbers. Here is my concern with these numbers, and it's the same concern I have for the Coliseum. Did we sell a bunch of people a sport that really isn't what this sport is? Because street racing is not what we do. For the most part, it's not road course racing either. Yes, we are having more and more, and that, I think, is justified and fair and correct. But I always wonder, do we sell people on something that doesn't really exist other than here or there? That's my big concern. You know, when you watch a football game, you sell them on the football game. But a street course is a different ball game, just as the Coliseum is a different ball game. So that's always my concern. I'll be very interested, and I'm sure guys like Bob Pockris and Jordan Bianchi and Jeff Gluck will report it well for us. What will the numbers be for the Chicago market on television for the year going forward? Because that, to me, will tell a lot. So, big numbers for the sport. Adam, I want your thoughts to start with you. What do you think of these big-time television ratings? What do you think it's indicative of? Is it just the novelty, boy, this could be a train wreck thing, or is there something more to it?
Yeah, I've actually got a couple more numbers here I can give you. NBC's 2022 Cup Series average, compared to, I guess, this Chicago race, this was 72% higher than their 2022 average, which is great. I know people were upset that Road America got kind of cut from the schedule this year. This is where Road America was on the schedule last year, and the viewership was up 144% from Road America last year. So, and it was the most watched sporting event of the weekend. I hear what you're saying, Logan, that like maybe this isn't indicative of what our sport is always like every weekend. And maybe, you know, people who are excited by this are like, oh, I'm going to tune in next week. And they see an oval Atlanta, and maybe it's, you know, I think Atlanta will still be an exciting race. But
oh, it certainly will be. That love child is something special.
But you never know, right? Like it's, you get people who are like, oh, this is not what I thought NASCAR was based on my limited exposure to it. However, I think the more eyes you can get on the sport, the better. I think this is nothing but a win for NASCAR. Even if, you know, even if 90% of these new viewers watch next week and think, eh, not for me after all, we still gain 10% right overall, right? So I say good for them. Yeah, it's interesting. Will next year reach the same numbers? Probably not. I know it's like the novelty is really interesting, and the same reason that we're going away from Bristol Dirt this year or next year, because the novelty has worn off, and maybe that's true in a few years in Chicago as well. But for now, getting as many eyes on NASCAR as possible is great. So
I think you make some wonderful points, Adam. You know, we watch this fan base talk oftentimes, especially old school. There's not, and hey, I don't think anyone defends the old school NASCAR fan more on this show than me. So hear me out on this. The old school NASCAR fan often goes, well, the gimmicks are stupid, but the sport is dying. You can't have both. If the sport is dying, then we have to try gimmicks. If the sport is not dying, then okay. But you can't have both. And so what I think this is indicative of is, again, NASCAR has an incredible ability when they really want to market. Frankly, it shows to me where they drop the ball sometimes marketing-wise as far as marketing the drivers, because when you market something correctly, I mean, look at that. These are massive numbers that is only bested by the Daytona 500. I mean, that's like saying, you know, it's like comparing a regular season game to the Super Bowl. It's incredible that it's in the same breath. So it's just interesting to me, again, not to cut on the old school fan. It's we either have to pick one. Either the sport is dying, and when things are dying, you either adapt or die, as Colin Best put it last week, or it's not dying, in which case that there goes one of your narratives. I think there is a place for street course racing. However, I do worry about this, and Colin, here's where I want your thoughts. I don't want to see too many street courses. I want one a year at That's tops. That's it right there. Because then if you start messing with it more, it again hurts that novelty. And so I'm fine with one a year. I think that's fine. I think that's great. Because there's still some cringeworthy things. I mean, perhaps I'm biased, but I'd like to not see Noah Gregson fight the turn six tire barrier as often. As fun as that matchup is, and it's a better love story than Twilight, don't get me wrong. Colin, where are you on this? Does this mean we need to have multiple street courses on the schedule? I think it needs to be one a year, just as Bristol Dirt currently is. Don't think it will be next year, but we'll see when that's official. Where are you on all this? Big win for the sport. How do you think they should react to it?
Oh, it's a big one for the sport, but like NASCAR has had in the past, when there's big wins and things, they kind of overreact and play more to that base. Granted, what I think the win for NASCAR so far is that we're going to go from this massive win that was the street course to Atlanta, which is now becoming one of the marquee dates, one of the most exciting races of the year, because we still don't know. We still don't have trends on how this race is going to go. It's still so new, especially for it to be the first time under the lights, which is a godsend, because last year at this time, when Atlanta came around, it was like 98 degrees on race day, and it was absolutely horrible. Now it's going to be at night, and it's going to be, you know, a fun race to go to. But the thing about, you know, what made the LA Coliseum stale is that once we saw the racing, that was as good as it was going to get. Whereas with street course races, you can change a layout per year. Now, I think they're going to be in Grant Park for the next 2 years, but they want to stay in Chicago. They can go to a different part of Chicago and race in the streets there. But what also lends to is you can go to cities that, you know, don't really have good racetracks, like Texas, and you can do a Streets of Texas race. I'm just saying that might be better than going to the Oval at Texas Motor Speedway. Or if you want to race in California, you can do the Streets of LA. Or better yet, there is a perfect street course in Southern California called the Long Beach Grand Prix. I'm just saying, you can go there. I love to see these big, beefy stock cars take that hairpin, because I don't think it'll be done. But, you know, they can prove me wrong. But I honestly think that with street course races, once a year is fine. I wouldn't like to see it return to Chicago next year. I'd like to see it moved around. That's the rub here, is that we can take this event to multiple different cities and have a different layout every single year, which lends itself to variety, because it would be the first time we would see a racetrack. No team would have a playbook on how to race it. The playbook would change every single year. So to me, that would be the only way that it succeeds, is the street course changes every year. But so far, if every race was just like that, then sign me up for more.
Bring it to Vancouver. Bring it to Vancouver.
What city do you think deserves a street course race next after Chicago?
You know, I mentioned this to Ryan Hill. Thank you for watching. It's going well. We're glad that you're watching. Travis Napper, I see you eyeballing too, buddy. You come on in here and make some comments. You want that streak?
Did Logan just freeze?
It looks like it, yeah.
It just froze.
A lot of different markets.
Oh, there he goes.
We have a lot of different markets, a lot of different places. It's time, in my view, for NASCAR to have more variety, as you're saying, Colin, because variety is the spice of life. We have so many tracks, so many options, so much to try. No, you're not going to get them every year. You're not going to get here and there every year. But I think, you know, until this year, you know this as a baseball fan, Colin, until this year, the rule was you played everybody every 3 years. That was until this year. Now they play everybody. They find a way in all 162. But remember, for years, it was every 3 years. Mm-hmm. So what I think NASCAR should do is every 2 to 3, they should guarantee these tracks every 2 to 3 years. Now, some are going to get two dates. Daytona and Talladega come to mind. But we should be taking, I think, less, in my view, we should do less two dates that aren't Daytona and Talladega. We find out which ones are the best markets. We keep those two dates. But the ones that are not great markets for the two dates, I wouldn't come back, and I would try different markets because we have so many different options. Let's not forget there's a perfectly good racetrack named Chicagoland Speedway that's about 15 miles from the street course. It's sitting there gathering dust, to my knowledge. Let's not forget
that. Gathering Ford F-150s at this moment.
Yeah, but let's not forget the Kentucky Motor Speedway is sitting and doing nothing. And I mean, there's so many different options that we could go back. We could try. We could renovate old tracks like North Wilkesboro. Let's talk. Let's go ahead and let's try to change up the market some, because these racetracks shouldn't have to die, but at the same time, it should be a competitive spot to get one of the coveted 38 races of NASCAR's Cup Series. It should be. But at the same time, we should always give a little love to these tracks that are just sitting dormant. Tom Willoughby has the greatest comment I've ever seen, and that's he just tuned in. He doesn't know what we're debating, but he's sure that I am right. Tom, I love you. I love you, Tom. I absolutely do. I pray for you in your good old West Virginia. That's right. Take me home, country roads. Let me tell you something, Tom.
Don't feed the beast, Tom. Don't feed the beast.
On this show.
Oh, that song isn't about West Virginia, the state, right? It's about West Virginia.
Just stop it. Stop it. Tom, I'll tell you one thing. Tom. On this show, just for this hour, I'm not always right, but I'm never wrong. It's going to be fine. We're going to get through it. It's going to be all right. But yeah, I think we should. We should switch up the market here and there, try different places, and see what works. I think you do Chicago for the next year. And I'll tell you why, Colin. Here's why I think you're incorrect on that. We need to see this thing in the dry. We need to see what it actually provides. All right, we got it with makeup this year, but what's it actually look like? We don't want to false advertise. Does that make sense? We got to see what it looks like.
See, I see what you mean, but the thing about like I'll take F1 Monaco, for example, which is really one of the only street courses that we have that, you know, that kind of act like the street racing that I thought. When it's dry, you cannot pass. When it's wet, the speeds are slower, which means the runs off corners mean something, which made probably the Chicago street course race more exciting because you actually had to account weather. In fact, that if you feel like you could send it, then you have to pray to God it sticks, or else you're going to be like Noah Gregson in turn six.
How come no one's making fun of Kyle Busch? All right, he absolutely nailed it.
Kyle Busch did it once, and Noah Gregson did it after the cool down lap. He couldn't go 40 miles an hour without spinning out, Logan. Do you understand what I'm saying?
He still finished on the lead lap, finished 25th.
Doesn't matter. He still spun out, like, a lot.
Sure he did.
Kyle Busch finished fifth, though. I mean,
yeah, like
that's a pretty good recovery.
Maybe he had too many Baconators on his car.
Well, you know what that is? That's called good exposure for Wendy's. That's what that is.
Here's my little exposure.
What he did. Hell, Noah Gregson did the sport better than anybody else, because what's the name of the game? TV time for the car. I saw that 42 more than I ever saw for Chip Ganassi or Kyle Petty.
See, you know, here, okay, fine, Logan. I'll play in you. I know exactly what happened, right? You ever seen Cars 2? Do you remember the camera with the all in all thing?
Yeah.
Right? So McDonald's is where, Chicago is where McDonald's is headquartered, right? And they knew that, Noah Gregson brought a Wendy's car to Chicago. And they didn't want that Wendy's car to outrun Bubba Wallace, right? So what they did is they used the camera from Cars 2. And it got the car super hot, so it spun out going into turn 6. And that way Bubba Wallace could pass it. It's a huge conspiracy, but you know it works. How can Wendy's? They don't cut corners at Wendy's. That's why no burgers are square.
They don't cut corners.
They don't cut corners.
Yeah. Did you ever not want a Baconator so bad in your life?
Look, I'm not a Son of Baconator guy, but, you know, it's the only fast food place that actually gives you a baked potato, and it's not that bad. So, like...
I'll tell you. It is... I eat a lot of crow, folks.
How are we not millionaires with all the sponsorship opportunities we just keep serving up on a silver platter here?
I eat a lot of crow from my group of collective NASCAR friends. It's a lot of crow.
Tom, yeah, said, see, that's what I said. That's exactly what I said.
Yeah, but he says it with more charm. Colin. He says, rumor is that Noah hit the tire barrier so hard and so often he was arrested for assault after the race. Well, Grant Enfinger, get in the car. Wow. So Ryan Hill said Noah Gregson did it like every lap. Still bounced back for a lead lap finish. At one point, he was three laps down. Let's look at the positives here. Let's look at the positives here. All right. So let's talk more about the actual race. They cut the race to 75 laps in the midst of it due to darkness. Because it's something unpredictable, but in the end is right. Hey, Bob, does Chicago have lights? So, did you see what I did there, Adam?
That was nice.
Yeah, it was all right. Hey, Bob, I love seeing that in the Twitter replies. Anywho, they cut it in the middle of the race down to 75 laps. Here's another move I didn't like by NASCAR, not because it didn't make sense. It did. We all remember the Brandon Brown Talladega win, where it was frankly too dark a long while ago before the race was actually called. We all remember that, and so I understand where they're coming from. But you really, really screwed people in pit strategy. It absolutely affected the pit strategy for a lot of people, and I think NASCAR should stop making such huge calls on the fly. It needs to be, and I know, well, you can't plan for a rain delay. Yes, I know out there, keyboard warrior. But here's what I'm saying. I think you have to have, you can't make it 10 minutes in either. This should have been thought about. This should have been started to be talked about when you saw how the rain was behaving and you knew it was going to come into the factor. When you saw the fact that the Vortex 30 hadn't paid off yet and that we hadn't got going, that's when you should have absolutely started to say, well, maybe we should cut this thing short. I know that's a tough spot. I know that's a hard ask. But NASCAR and all these people get paid a lot of money for this situation. So that's their job. That's their job for these tough situations. Tom says, I don't think you can judge any new track venue after one race. Drivers couldn't see through the mud the first year at Bristol. We had a massive brake failures the first year in Nashville. And when the next-gen car debuted at the Coliseum, it could barely tolerate any contact. Some of these venues got better. Some still get mixed reviews, but I think we have to give it more than one year before we make a decision. Yes, sir. Tom, I agree with you. By the way, go check out the setup, man, always. Tom Willoughby is a big leaguer if there ever was one. We love this guy. We thank you for commenting. Yeah, I agree with Tom on that. But I want to know your thoughts on, Tom, tell us, did NASCAR make the wrong call cutting it to 75 laps at the point they did? It ain't the wrong call overall, but they need better communication because it entirely affected the strategy and potentially the outcome of the race. It certainly affected people's day. Adam, I'll come to you for that. What do you think? Do they need more? Absolutely. www.setup-man.com. Go check it out. He's got great setups for all your NASCAR needs. So, Adam, tell me.
I think it's a you're damned if you do, damned if you don't sort of situation there, unfortunately, because I think, you know, if you call the race earlier and say, okay, we're going to switch this to 75 laps. And then it, as it turned out, the rain did stop and you get to the end of the race and you realize, wow, we could have kept going. Now you've screwed over, you know, if we decide we're going to, okay, actually just kidding, we're going to go 100 laps after all, you've screwed over the people who, you know, set up their strategy for 75 laps. So I think it was a lose-lose call. Someone was going to be annoyed with it and someone was going to be happy with it. As Ryan says, he enjoyed it because it benefited Logano. Yeah.
Boy, what a homer. What a homer this brother.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I think NASCAR was in a lose-lose situation there. The rain was awful and I wasn't even sure we were even going to get the race going. And suddenly somehow the skies opened up and the clouds went away and yeah, it just got too dark to finish it. But I don't know. I hate that it got cut to 75 laps, but I don't know if NASCAR could have done anything differently that would have, you know, been the much better call. I think, you know, someone else would have been upset no matter when they called it. So
I think that's a fair point. But I also think that NASCAR had to know the darkness was going to be a possibility once we got the massive rain delay. And so that's where I'm saying, I'm not talking about have foresight all day long. That's unrealistic. But I think when you see how long the rain delay goes, how late we actually start, I think you start thinking about that as the race is going on. You know, when you have pileups and it turns into a parking lot, you also go, boy, that's slowing us down. Colin, what say you? Am I being a little too tough on NASCAR for thinking they could have had a little bit more foresight into making such a crucial decision?
Yeah, I think you're a little judging in NASCAR, and I'll tell you why. So I remember this happening at New Hampshire a couple of years ago. This is where Christopher Bell got his first win, or Eric Almirola got his last Cup win in the Cup Series at New Hampshire. Someone can in the comments can tell me, or Adam, he's quick on the computer. He can tell me. But you have to do how they did this is they take the lap times he's running and average it out, and then they do some math and crunch numbers and say how it. By this lap, if it remains green, what lap do we get to? So it all depends on the leader's average lap time. And at the time, it was Justin Haley who was the leader at the time of when NASCAR made this. So you can kind of blame Justin Haley for not having a faster pace. You can kind of blame Justin Haley. But I will say that NASCAR didn't really have a choice. They were in a box of weather, and you know, racing on Monday wasn't the sexy option, because if you raced on Monday, people on social media would say that this probably was a failure on NASCAR. This event, this whole weekend sucked. Miranda Lambert didn't play. The chain smokers didn't play. I mean, remember, NASCAR made this thing an event, a weekend where you can buy a pass and you can go see concerts. And they kind of made it into this little mini F1 weekend. And the only things that you could see if you were there was the Xfinity race and the Cup Series race, but everything else kind of just did not work. So,
and both were shortened.
Yeah. So, I mean, NASCAR was in a box. And the thing is that in my mind, because Garage 56 happened, I honestly think that you can put headlights on these cars now. We don't have to have stickers anymore. I'm just saying. That would help out a lot of racetracks. I don't think they'll ever put headlights on at Talladega and just say go. But like at a street course race where you have brake lights and it's kind of slower speeds, sure, do headlights. If it goes dark, the race goes green. And how cool would it be to see NASCAR Cup cars under the lights at Chicago? I'm just saying, that'd be kind of cool. But at the end of the day, I mean, if we were up in the race control tower, we would be making the same decision, or we would be saying just go until the sun goes down and then that's it. That's all you can really do. So I applaud NASCAR for making a hard decision. Were people happy about it? Yeah. Were people not happy about it? Yeah. But at the end of the day, you still got a 75 laps of racing, which was plenty more than what you saw with the Xfinity Series race. The race still got passed halfway, so it made it official. So even if the race was just canceled after, you know, lap 50, you still would have got a full race in, kind of. But per the rule book, you still would have gotten a race in. So to me, I have no problems with NASCAR.
If Tom says the problem with calling it earlier is, what if you have a red flag or several yellow flags? You can't even reach the shortened distance. Then NASCAR is shortening the race twice, which would have upset even more people. I think no matter what decision NASCAR ever makes, you're upsetting at least one person. You know, NASCAR could say we're going to run the race all the way to the end and someone will be upset by it. So yeah, I think
that's fair. I absolutely think that's a fair point. I just believe that with, I mean, cutting it by, you know, that 25 laps, that's a serious amount. And so that's where I just think, and I know that's being hard on NASCAR. I respect that, but I also, that's what you get paid to do. And so I think as number one, as we're media members of the sport, but we're also fans of the sport, I'm going to hold their feet to the fire. And my opinion is, you know, yeah. Can I second guess your decision? Yeah, I can. And I know you're in a tough spot and I have to acknowledge that, but at the same time, shorten it 25 laps on the fly affects a lot of people's races. That's just, we have to talk about that. All right. So SVG, everybody's talking about him. You know, some people wonder if he could even come to NASCAR next year. I know that his series said they won't stand in the way if that happens. Look, folks, I'd pump the brakes on that. Let him do the one more year. Also, let's not forget this is something NASCAR had never done before. I'm not saying we won't see him back. We will, and I think we should. But I think the hype train is a little overblown right now. That's all I'm saying. Anybody got any thoughts on that before moving along?
I'll take this really quickly. I think that this is exactly what we should have saw with Scott McLaughlin when he came from Australian V8. He went to IndyCar. It is a damn shame he's in IndyCar series, but he's doing a good job. But imagine what he could have done on NASCAR if he decided to go there too soon. He is 31 years old. He still has plenty left in the tank. He does have experience in this type of racing. He'd be great on road courses. For the younger generation, he'd be Marcus Ambrose. That he would be the younger version's Marcus Ambrose. But it also makes me feel bad that if Marcus Ambrose had this next gen car, how good could he possibly be in the Cup Series right now? It makes me want the Project 91 Marcus Ambrose, give him a ride for a weekend at Coda or something. He'd do great.
With the Project 91 and this next gen car, plenty of options are on the table. Cole Custer's going to get back in the Cup car. He's going to join Rick Ware Racing for 3 Cup starts this year, starting this weekend in Atlanta. He's got the next 3 races. Formula One releases their 2024 schedule, and Marco Andretti is going to make his truck debut at Mid-Ohio. Great to see an Andretti getting back in NASCAR. That's going to be a really, really cool moment. Hopefully he does well. All right, Adam, we gotta bring her home. So it's time for our little weekend preview. Oh yeah, looky there. Look at that. Mario Brothers ain't got nothing on us, let me tell you. So trucks are at Mid-Ohio and Xfinity Cup. They're at the Super Speedway Love Child, known as Atlanta. You know, in years past, when you think Atlanta, this is where you would eyeball maybe a Kevin Harvick win. He dominated that joint, ride that bottom like a mother, and watch him work. I think we touched on it earlier when we said this is still too new to give you a bunch of great analysis to it. It's one of those we don't know what could happen, and that's what makes it so interesting. My concern is always about the speeds, and because this place is so compacted for this type of racing, and so I just hope everybody stays safe. That is my hope. And hey, maybe my beloved Legacy Motor Club, maybe they'll have a damn good day, because anything's possible in a super speedway, Colin. Maybe. You already touched on Formula One at Silverstone. Anything else you want to say on that before moving along?
Hey, man, this is going to be a crazy weekend. A lot of teams are coming with some upgrades. Ferrari, Alfa Romeo, and I think Haas are coming with some team upgrades as well for the Silverstone Grand Prix. So a lot of teams are going to get faster. We'll find out how good Williams is. McLaren's been doing good. Mercedes and Lewis Hamilton have been upset over the past couple weeks. Hopefully they can get that rectified. But Red Bull Racing is going to dominate this puppy pretty much until they get their new engine supplier, which is going to be Ford. And then they may lose a couple of horsepower because it's Ford. But who knows? You know, maybe they might do good with Ford as well. But look for Max Verstappen to pick up his, at this point, infinite number win. I keep losing count. He wins so damn much. He's like, he's really good. He's the Kyle Larson of the open wheel world, to be honest.
I gotcha. So again, in Atlanta for the Cup Series, Joey Logano won there. in the spring. We'll see how this summertime goes. It is a night race, folks. A Sunday night race. Don't forget that. That's a new one.
Verstappen will be going for his 43rd win
of his career. What's the season, though?
On the season, it'll be his 8th of the season.
I'll take that. Looking for that 43rd. That's a good number. That's a really.
He has two finishes this year that are not a win, and they're both second place.
Yeah.
So let us know in the comments how you think Verstappen's going to do. What are your predictions for Atlanta for Cup and Xfinity? And do you have any takes on Mid-Ohio, the truck race? So let us know in the comments, please. We got to keep moving along. So that means it's time for Racing Refresh Picks.
Oh, it sure is, isn't it?
He's not crook on the draw. It's not like Peggy. There you go.
That's all right.
Producer Peggy makes us wait sometimes too.
She does, because
it's labeled double R picks, and so I was looking for race. You know, whatever. Don't worry about it.
Speaking of
Producer Peggy, she won this week with her Chicago picks. She picked Larson. He finished P4, so congratulations to her. Oh, and I even updated this. Look at this. Oh, yes. So we've got a solid line, 6-5-4-3. Logan's still leading us. Producer Peggy just moves into second, and myself and then Colin bringing up the rear. We're getting there, Colin. We're going to catch him. There's still time. Anyway, so I was the loser of the week by picking Harrison Burton. I didn't think he was going to do amazing, but I thought I got to pick him at some time. So that means I get to pick first this week, and we are at Atlanta. I am going to pick Ryan Blaney. All right. Next up is Colin. Now, actually, if you guys looked on your little Facebook there, I sent you guys a message telling you who you have left. I don't know if that's helpful to you, but
did you send that today?
I sure did. I sent it in the middle of the show. Look at how good I am at multitasking.
Look at you. I don't have it. Is it on the script?
No, it's in your Facebook. Oh, okay. Well, you know, Colin, maybe just pick. I'll let you know if you've picked them.
Okay. So I was going to pick Eric Jones, but I picked him earlier this year. And I was going to pick Brad Keselowski, but I think I picked him earlier this year. Brad Keselowski.
True.
So at this point, I feel like I'm just down to the has-beens at this point, because I've picked everyone good so far. So at some point, this man has to turn things around. At some point, he has a new crew chief. Things are looking doom and gloom, but I'm going to go Chase Briscoe.
Chase Briscoe, yes. Very good. And Mr. Loganity, who you got this week?
Well, it is a super speedway type track, and a guy you talk about turning things around. We've talked about him plenty during this show. I'm going to take Noah Gregson in that Legacy Motor Club 42. Why not? Why not a big-time top-five finish, maybe even a win for him? He's got a lot of Super Speedway experience. Of course, even before coming to Legacy Motor Club, he was running part-time for Beard Motorsports. So why not? Legacy Motor Club, why not Noah Gregson? Go have a Baconator. You know what I'm saying, Kyler?
There's no turn six at Atlanta, so he'll be fine.
I heard Noah Gregson actually was the most upset that they shortened the race because he had a few more turn six hits in mind that he was looking forward to, but they had to cut the race 25 laps. For Producer Peggy, I don't have her pick, but I knew she was picking last because she was the winner. So I knew that I'll make sure I get that, and we'll update that before next week's show. So there you have it. There's our Racing Refresh picks.
All right. There's your Racing Refresh picks. And look, with every great show, every great show has got to have an end. We got to bring it home, and we've taken it to the streets. And now let's take it home. It's time for closing time.
Take it to the sheets.
Oh yeah, there it is. All right, so Mr. Carabine, I'm gonna let you kick it off. Little final words.
I'm taking it to the streets, just like the Doobie Brothers. And now we're taking it to Atlanta, just like. I don't know. I got nothing. I'm sorry. But no, it's been a good show. We miss you, Producer Peggy. I'll be happy to have you back next week, because this is a little more stressful when it's just me doing this stuff. So yeah, thanks for tuning in, everyone. We love the engagement, and we'll catch you again next week after Atlanta.
Mr. Colin Bev, some final words for the folks.
So I have some little conspiracy theorist here, but hey, Andretti Motorsports is interested in expanding their global footprint into NASCAR. And guess who made a deal with Spire Motorsports? Gamebridge. And what a Gamebridge sponsor? Andretti Autosport Cars. And who is the co-owner of Andretti Autosport? It is the CEO of Gamebridge. So why is Gamebridge, who could have any other top team in the Cup Series, going to Spire Motorsports? I'm going to say the Andretti by Spire Motorsports. And in 2024, Andretti Motorsports comes to NASCAR, baby. That's what I'm saying. You heard it here first. Bold predictions from Racing Refresh Happy Hour. I'm not even drunk this time. We can do it great. Mark my words, Andretti comes to NASCAR 2024. Book it. Book it.
Hey, I promise you, Colin, I promise you that if it comes true, I will find this clip and we'll replay it on that show.
I hope it does happen. It would be great to have Andretti back in NASCAR. Pardon me. It'd be really cool to have them play a major role in the sport. I hope you're right about that. So for my final words, look, people, I hope you had a lovely Independence Day. I don't know what you guys do up there in Canada. You didn't win the war in 1776.
We celebrated Canada Day on July 1st. It was we just beat you to the punch. Three extra days, you know.
It doesn't matter.
So you had to work.
I did have to work yesterday. Yes, I did.
Before we go, let's get to Tom's comment. Ross Chastain, he says, has 2 second place finishes at New Atlanta. He thinks he closes the deal and gets the win this week. That'd be 2 out of the last 3 and 3 out of the last 3 for Trackhouse overall if that happens. So we'll see what happens. Tom, do me a favor. I want you to come back here next week and tell me whether you were right or wrong. Okay? You do that for me. Me, you, Tom.
Trackhouse won its 91st race in the number 91 car. Just so you know. Adam, I know you'd appreciate that stat.
91st race.
Yeah, it was their 91st race that Trackhouse ever entered as a
Oh, team. Sorry. I thought you meant it was their 91st win, and I was like,
No. Oh, it was their 91st start in a race.
And oh, yes. But it's good. I do like that.
Yeah, we could have called this episode 91 in 91. So with that, we hope you had a lovely Independence Day. We hope you have a great weekend and enjoy the racing this weekend, no matter what your motorsports persuasion. Thanks so much for tuning in, everybody. Tom, you be sure to come back next week now. And thank you. We'll see you next week right here on Racing Refresh Happy Hour. A hearty Omaha, everybody. I'm out of here.
See ya.